This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a joy it is to welcome all of you to this time of worship on this glorious Pentecost Sunday. This is a high holy day of the church when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that gathering of Jesus' disciples and the birthday of the church. So it's a gift to be together. Whether you are here in person or worshiping online, we know that the power of the Holy Spirit connects us in this time of worship. As we gather, just a few announcements to share, different ways that we can connect and serve and grow in life together. First and foremost, I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser. There's also a QR code in the bulletin that you can scan, and that will give you ways to register your attendance, make an offering for the day, share a prayer request, and other ways to participate in the service. There is a lot happening in the life of the church today, and I would encourage you to look in your bulletins for the announcements. There are four or five different things happening today that we want you to know about. I do believe the acolyte training is canceled. Will, is that for sure? Our children's pastor, Maggie, is sick today, so we'll reschedule that acolyte training, but everything else is still on, including a service of Teze worship today at 5 p.m. We're gearing up for Vacation Bible School. The details are also in your bulletin, and we would love for you to register your children to participate and register yourself to volunteer if you feel called to do that. Our congregational care group would like to highlight an upcoming gathering at lunchtime on May 30th, sort of a lunch and learn around concerns of mental health. This is Mental Health Awareness Month, and so we invite you to come and share lunch and conversation on May 30th. Big announcement for us is next Sunday we are making a shift to our summer schedule. So next Sunday we will all worship together at 10 a.m. So set yourself some reminders, set your alarm 3 days in advance. It's going to be a change for us for the couple of months of the summer, but it's really going to bear fruit in our life together, I believe. We'll have Sunday school at 9 a.m. and then so throughout the summer, there will be opportunities at 11 for different gatherings. The first one will be on June 2nd. We're going to have a good old-fashioned Methodist potluck, and there's information in your bulletin about how to sign up, tell us what dish you're bringing, and we'll have opportunities to learn more about ways to volunteer as well. So much to celebrate in this time of worship together here at West End and in the Church Universal that God has gifted us with the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to be the church. So let us worship together as God's one church.
join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Come, Holy Spirit, ignite our hearts with joy. Come, Holy Spirit, so that we may experience your peace. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, forgive our hesitant witness and our complacent spirits. Help us to be agents of healing and hope for others. Lead us to be more aware of the people we encounter each day. Inspire in us fresh desire for sharing your love with all people. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Anna and Riley Mays bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Riley and Anna, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns now and forever. Amen. Okay, you want to come see me? And what name have you given your beautiful daughter?
Caroline Abigail.
Caroline Abigail, I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you and empower you for ministry all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right, Caroline Abigail. Let's get a little closer to Mom and Dad, and Pastor Shannon's going to join us. If you all will lay hands on her, and we will pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in her life on this Pentecost Sunday. Caroline Abigail, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right, Miss Caroline. I like your name. It's a pretty name. It's also a beautiful baptismal dress that your mom wore when she was baptized. So you stand in a line of faithful people and faithful family. There they are. And this is your church family. She is taking all of you in. This is a mind at work here. And she is looking to you to show her the way of faith and life and love. And Caroline, these friends are going to do everything they can to teach you how much God loves you, to help you find ways to share that love with other people. They're going to teach you Sunday school and volunteer for Vacation Bible School. Maybe one of them will be a confirmation mentor. All sorts of ways they're going to love you and pray for you. And so I want you to listen as they make that promise to you and to God.
Will the congregation please stand, open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome, and face Caroline Abigail. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Caroline Abigail to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Caroline Abigail, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's lesson from the New Testament is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sky shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God.
I'd love to have a moment with the children. If you are here in the sanctuary, just come down and meet me here. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens and we will share a few minutes together on this Pentecost Sunday. As you're coming forward, one of the things we do at Pentecost is change the colors to red. So I love this bright red color. It's supposed to remind us of the Holy Spirit. Come on down. Glad to see everybody. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, thank you for filling in the space here. I know, I think Caroline wants to come too. Well, over the course of my life, which is a pretty long life so far, I've had the privilege of traveling to a lot of different places and worshiping with Christians in all sorts of different places across the world. I've even been to a church in Russia. I have worshiped in Mexico. I've worshiped with my friend David, who you're going to meet in a few minutes, in Uganda. I have worshiped in France. And they're all different languages and different ways of worshiping. I've been to different churches here in Nashville and different faith communities. And, you know, some of them have like guitars and drums. And some of them don't have a choir, and the pastors don't wear robes. All different ways of worshiping. And you know what? I think God loves that. I think God created us to be different in all sorts of ways. And there are ways we can share God's love and tell the world about God's love that are different from each other. It would be kind of boring if every church looked like this one, or if every choir sounded the same. The story that we've just heard is about a group of Jesus followers who were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were all really different from each other. And they started speaking in all the different languages of the world. And there were people from all over the world who heard it. And then they went back to their homes, and they started talking about Jesus in all of these different ways. And I just think it's a beautiful thing that we're all different because God loves that about us. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much that we're not all the same, that you created us all to be different, unique people, different kinds of places and languages and ways of worshiping. We're all telling one story, and that is the story of your love. Help us to know your love in Jesus' name today. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Miss Molly. And I think Miss Abby's over there.
Yes.
Yeah, good. And have a great time. And everyone else can go back and sit with parents or friends. Pentecost, for me, is such an exciting Sunday. I love all of the hymns that we sing. I loved the organ voluntary that Andrew played that sort of ushered us into this time of worship and lifted our spirits. And I love that some of you, there's a sprinkling of red over here. I love the change to the red pyramids. It's a story that reminds us of the power of the Holy Spirit. We hear this story about the little band of Jesus' followers who had followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Last week, we heard the story of his ascension. After his resurrection, he spent some time with them. And then he ascended into heaven and told them to wait, to stay together and pray and wait. And they would be given what they needed. And so today is the story of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this little band of disciples. And there's a lot in the story that, at least the way the Spirit emerged upon them in that moment, was loud and dramatic. It was like the rush of a mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire landed on each one of them, and they all started talking in different languages. As you can imagine, the noise level and the chaos of that moment. And so we see in this Pentecost the power, the volume, the drama of the Holy Spirit. But one of the things I noticed this time around, as I sat with this story this year, was that the Spirit also has a strategy. This wasn't just a random moment that God chose to pour out the Spirit in a fresh way. I think there's some strategy going on. We find out at the beginning of Acts, as Jesus is about to ascend, he tells his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This has been God's plan from the very, very beginning, to share the love of God, the good news of God's love and God's forgiveness and God's reaching out to all humankind to the ends of the earth. And so what better way to do that than in this moment with these people? Let me dig into that just a little bit. Let's start with just Jesus' innermost circle of apostles. At this point in the story, of course, Judas is no longer with them. But we have the 11. And Jesus had gathered around him a group of people who were very different from each other. He didn't get guys who were all the same. We have 4 fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, men who worked with their hands, probably uneducated, illiterate. We have Matthew, a tax collector who was working with Rome and getting rich off the backs of his own people. And then we have Simon the Zealot, whom we don't know much about, but he bore the name Zealot. which meant he was part of a political movement that opposed Rome and wanted to get rid of Rome and wanted to raise up a rebellion against Rome. And you have all of these of the sons of thunder. I mean, what was that about? How did they all get along? And Jesus brought together all of these different men to be his disciples and to teach them how to tell the story of God's love, how to find their oneness even in their diversity. So we expand it out a little bit. On this day of Pentecost, Luke tells us there were about 120 people there. So who are these people? Aside from the 11 that we know, Luke tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and some of the other women that had followed Jesus in Galilee. In other places in the Gospels, they're named, a few of them, so we know there is Mary Magdalene, of course, out of whom Jesus cast 7 demons. We don't know much of her story except that she had been very broken and sick when he met her. And he healed her and she followed him and was one of his most faithful followers, the first to see the risen Christ, according to John's gospel. And then there may have been Joanna. Now, Joanna's husband was a steward of King Herod. So Joanna is in that inner circle of Herod, of the people who have Herod's ear in places of power in Judea. And yet here she is, a follower of Jesus, in the mix. For many of the others, we have to use our imagination. 120 of them, most of them from Galilee. So I wonder if maybe Zacchaeus was there. Not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector, a very wealthy and powerful man who had yet still been on the margins in his community. I wonder if he made the journey from Jericho to Jerusalem with Jesus. I wonder if Nicodemus was there, or Joseph of Arimathea. We'll hear some of Nicodemus' story next week, but we learn in John's gospel that he and Joseph of Arimathea, these powerful Pharisees who sat on the Sanhedrin council, were disciples of Jesus at the end. They buried his body in the gospel of John, and I wonder if they stayed in Jerusalem and gathered with the other followers of Jesus. So we have these powerful, wealthy, well-educated men who are there. We also have perhaps maybe Bartimaeus, the beggar who'd been on the side of the road, whom Jesus healed of his blindness, and who stood up and threw off his cloak and started following Jesus. Maybe he was there. Maybe the woman who'd had the hemorrhage for 12 years, who was so ostracized by her community and yet was healed when she grabbed Jesus' robe. Maybe he changed her life so that she followed him all the way to Jerusalem. 120 of them. We can only imagine who they were and what their stories were, but they were incredibly different from each other, from the most wealthy, powerful, highly educated, to the poorest, outcast, marginalized. So different. And yet all of them had been changed by Jesus. All of them had had an encounter with the Son of God, had been seen by him, had been loved by him, had been invited by him to follow. And they did. And so on that Pentecost day, there were all these people from Galilee gathered together. And it was Pentecost, which means it was a festival day in Jerusalem. Pentecost was a Jewish festival, the Feast of Weeks, and faithful Jews from all over the known world would have made a pilgrimage to worship in Jerusalem on that day during that week. And so this is where I think the Spirit's strategy really shows up. The Spirit chose that day when Jews from all over the world and proselytes, meaning those who might not be Jewish but were curious about the God of Israel and interested in learning more, were all gathered and milling around the city of Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit pours out on this little motley crew of Galileans, and they start talking. and singing and shouting in all these different languages of the world. And they made such a racket that a crowd started to gather. And then we see Peter. Peter, who was the most stubborn, thick-headed of all the disciples. Peter, who on the day that Jesus was arrested, denied even knowing him. Peter, who had run off into the darkness and who had thought he was unworthy to be Jesus' disciple, is the one so filled with the Holy Spirit that he stands up and begins to testify. And the story says that all of these different kinds of people and all of these different languages were telling one story about the power of God, telling the story of how Jesus had touched them and changed them. And that was the Spirit's strategy. And by the end of the day, there were 3,000 who were telling the story. I think that is still the strategy of the Holy Spirit, my friends. The Spirit is poured out upon all of us, as different as we are. Now, we are all worshiping in this moment as part of West End United Methodist Church, but we're so different from one another. We have very different kinds of stories and different ways that God has changed us and transformed us and invited us and stretched us. We each have a different story to tell. And you take this and multiply it exponentially to all the different ways of being human in this world. And the Holy Spirit is ready to work through each and every one. So the way we tell the story will be different from each other. But we tell the same story about God, about God's love, about God's forgiveness, about God's inclusion of all of us, about God's love for the whole world. So how do you tell that story? Don't tell yourself, well, my story's not as exciting or as interesting or as dramatic as their story. I met a woman this week at a music gathering, and we got to talking about our faith, and she said, well, when did you come to the Lord? And I said, well, I was kind of born into church. You know, my journey has been a lot more gradual, and I've had moments for sure, but not the kind of dramatic experience that she had. And yet my experience of the Spirit matters and is important, and it will reach some people, and her story might reach other people that mine wouldn't. And God uses all of it and all of us. So my friends, what is your story? Where have you experienced the power of God, the love and grace of God in your life? You have a story to tell, maybe with words, certainly with actions. May we go forth from this Pentecost day to embrace our own story and to give thanks to God for the beautiful differences and diversity and voices of all of our stories. May it be a beautiful chorus that helps the Holy Spirit transform the world. Amen.
As we respond to God's word, I invite you to stand as we join together in the affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I want to invite you to share your joys and concerns with us. The church staff meets to pray weekly about what you share with us. And if you would like to check our website, click on the Contact Us portion of the website to leave that prayer request, or you can fill out a gray pew card that is found in the racks in front of you and place that inside the offering plates as they are passed. I want to encourage you to take the bulletin with you to home with you today and to remember the prayer concerns that are listed there and to lift those up as you spend time in your personal prayer throughout the week. As we lift up our special prayer request, we want to mourn today with Amy and Matt Owen as they mourn the death of their father and our beloved church member, Mark Owen, who passed away earlier this morning. As information becomes available for our service and remembrance, we will make that available to everyone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creating and sustaining God, we give thanks today as we remember and celebrate the gift of your presence with us. You have chosen to dwell with us, to offer your spirit of kinship, acceptance, forgiveness, and peace. We are in awe of the lengths you go to be in relationship with us. We are thankful for that day in the upper room in Jerusalem where you called your disciples and where they first experienced your spirit come upon them and to give them the gifts of sharing the love that you shared with them, with the world around them. We thank you, God, for the special ways that you endowed them with gifts to speak your word to people that were different from them, to show the love in a way that connected specifically with someone else. And God, we give thanks that you also give us that power. As we commit to you our lives, you come to us and offer us gifts and allow us to be a part of your work of transforming this world. And so, God, as we sit in worship of you today, and as we ultimately leave from this place, we pray, God, that you will continue to guide us, help us to learn how it is you have gifted us so that we can bless the world with the love that you have blessed us with. God, we ask that you send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth. We ask you to dwell among us, even through your presence, even though your presence will startle and unsettle us. We ask that you would grant us your peace, and we pray as justice and love pour down upon this earth that yearns for your love. God, we come today knowing that you understand the deep groanings of our hearts, that you know who we are to the very depths of our souls, and you bear with us as we experience pain, heartache, loss, disappointment, as well as joy, delight, and happiness. We open our hearts and our hands to you this morning in trust of you and your provision. And as we lift them up, we speak these words, Lord, hear our prayer. As we share the deep desires of our hearts and minds today, we seek to trust in your grace, O Lord. A grace that surrounds us even when we don't know it. A grace that leads us to realize our need for you. And a grace that helps us to become all you have created us to be. We open before you our hearts and offer you our lives as a thank offering for your never-ending grace that offers us life abundant. And it's with that trust in your grace that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In just a moment, we will have a ministry moment for one of the ministries that we support called Raise the Roof.
Good morning. My name is David Seblime. I was born in Uganda, and since it's Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to teach you a Ugandan word. Is that okay? So would you all say after me, Munyumba Temuli Kubo. Let's say that one more time. Munyumba Temuli Kubo. That means in a house, there is no walkway. My mother taught me so many things. And one of the most important lessons came to me every time she used those words. She had 14 children. And all God's people said, and 11 of us are alive. And here and there she would forget our names. But she always would say, Munyumba Temuli Kubo, because she wanted us to learn the importance of hospitality. She has taught me many, many lessons. I came to America to go to school. And on that Sunday I left, right after church, she called me and her mother, who is my grandma, and they called the whole family and they laid hands on me. And they said, you're going to America. And my mother said, make sure you find a cure for diabetes. And my grandma said, make sure you don't marry one of those white girls. Come back home. We have a Ugandan girl for you. So I came to America, I studied, and then my brothers and sisters put money together and they sent her to come to my graduation. She's a very ambitious lady, and there's about 4 jobs you can have, according to my mother. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, or a disgrace to the family. So she came, thinking my son has figured out a cure for diabetes. Well, at the graduation, she realized I wasn't any of those things. And then at the graduation, I introduced her to my fiance then, and I said, Mom, I'm getting married to a white girl. My mother has been there for me and has been a hero in my life, and my wife and our daughter is here today. And in 2010, we moved to Nashville, and Carol became my mentor and my pastor at Christ United Methodist Church as I attended Vanderbilt to become an elder in making through Vanderbilt Divinity School and later on ordained. And Nancy was here, and many of us turned to scholars were all over the place. And in this season, while I was in seminary, I met with Carol every week for an hour for 3 years, just as Nancy was meeting with Pastor Michael Williams, the late Michael Williams. And in those days, I told Carol all my dreams. And Carol, you may not know this, but one of the things Carol did for me was offer me the gift of hospitality. As a mentor, she listened to my musings, my ramblings, my confusion, my fears, and all of those things. And in that year, I shared with Carol that my dream had been to build a school for a village that my father, who had been a pastor, had served and had preached his last sermon before he died. And in 2012, just like today, I stood in front of Christ United Methodist Church, and I shared with them my story. And I told them that my father died when I was 6 years old. I ended up in an orphanage. And through that orphanage, I became a sponsored child. And though I'm the ninth in my family, I was the first person to finish high school, to finish also university. And though there are five pastors in my family, I'm the only one with a seminary education. It all started because of what I now believe is the ministry of hospitality. I told Carol and the church that I wanted to do the same for children who were like me back in Uganda. And we started the school in a wooden shack with 30 children and two teachers. God loved them. They were not teachers, but they were there babysitting them. In 2013, Carol came with me to see the school and many friends from Blakemore United Methodist Church and Christ United Methodist Church. And since 2011, with 30 kids, today the school has grown to 1,600 students from kindergarten all the way to university, all through the ministry of hospitality. I have seen the power of hosting people, their questions, their fears, their anxieties, their confusion. About 7 years ago, Marlene told me that West End started supporting Raise the Roof. I want to thank you for your support, and I also want to encourage you to continue supporting and giving to your missions department, because through your generosity, kids around the world are being hosted by schools like Raise the Roof, and communities are being transformed. I thank you for supporting and praying and continuing to be a church that is known to be a church with an open door, with open hearts, and with open hands. We have a table in that room over there. I invite you to come and talk to us. Come and see the children. Come and meet me. Come and talk with Marlene. And Zoe, who is 11 years old, also can answer some questions. But today I'm here to say thank you. Thank you for being hospitable and continue praying for ministries. I'm an elder in the Tennessee United Methodist Conference, in our TWK conference, and I love Jesus, and I am what I am because of the ministry of hospitality. Please continue praying for our children. We have kids who you can sponsor. Carol sponsors a child named Margaret, and many other people sponsor children, and God has blessed the work we do. Thank you. I love you. Munyumba, can you say after me, Munyumba? Temuli Kubo, meaning there is no way in the house. Everyone who comes to your house is a guest who God calls us to host. Thank you.
Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise for all that God has done within this place and around the world. Those of you joining us online are invited to give you the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass plates down the rows. There is also a QR code printed in your bulletin, and you can give that way as well. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us.
you'll be seated for just a moment. We have a group of our youth who are preparing to go on a service trip, and we want to take this time together to pray for them and commission them and send them forward. There's so many of you, we need both sides. Wonderful.
Good morning, church family. Our youth and adults are ready to experience and share God's love with each other and others as they serve alongside Hinton Rural Life Center in Hayesville, North Carolina, in 2 weeks. I want to share with you that this is the first time this group is going on a rural service trip, the first time our youth group's gone on one since 2018. We obviously got interrupted for a couple years there. There was this thing that happened in 2020. In 2021, many of these youth served right here in Nashville with masks on for 3 days. The next year, we went on a big trip for our older youth to Alaska, and these students went to Kentucky with me, again, serving with individuals in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. And then last year we served in Macon, Georgia on our way down to Youth 2023, again in an urban setting. So I'm thrilled to take all of you to go and serve with one family for the week, to get to know one family, as David said, to experience hospitality. Imagine having people in your home helping you, but also coming alongside of you to say, I'm so glad you're here with me. And then hopefully you all get an opportunity to offer hospitality in that setting as well, with each other and with the individuals that we're going to get to work with in 2 weeks. So now we as a congregation get to send them forth in the name of Christ. Me too, by the way. We also ask that this congregation pray for myself and our two adults, Lana and Molly, who have committed to help this week, to care for, work alongside, love, listen to, and guide each of the youth, and serve as well. We rejoice that each of you have said yes to share your times, talents, and energy to the people in Hayesville. And the people of Hayesville will also be in service with you as they likewise share their faith. We get to go as pilgrims to see where God is at work there and to join in God's work. This is a great privilege that places on you a great responsibility. What you have done alone with God in offering yourself for this service, we now ask you to publicly do in the presence of our church family.
And so here's an opportunity for you to make this commitment before all of us. So I will ask you this question. Will you agree to carry forward this ministry in the spirit of Christ, in cooperation with your fellow team members and leaders, and with respect for the local church, ministries, and hosts? If so, say, I will. All right, if you'll kneel here at the altar rails, I will ask all of the congregation to join me in praying this prayer of commissioning and consecration. Let us pray. Ever-present God, send your blessing upon these your servants, soon to go forth to join you in service with the people of Hayesville. Surround them as they travel. Whether they get tired, get blisters, get overwhelmed with information, or can't wait each morning to see what is new, help them to know that you are with them. Give each team member patience and kindness. Strengthen them with energy and endurance. Help them to embrace this opportunity to grow together as a group. Give them time to listen for you and time to share their lives with others. Help them to remember that they are serving your children of all ages. Help them to remember that the world you love includes people in gas stations, restaurants, individuals that they will be helping, and every person they encounter. We ask all these things so that your name will be glorified through their lives and their service, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you all so much. Blessings for safe travels and a wonderful experience of God's presence in your lives. And now will you rise in body or in spirit, and let's join our voices in our closing hymn.
Thank you.
is a world beyond these walls that God loves unconditionally. There is a world beyond these walls that needs to hear that good news. And you, just as you are, can tell that story. So go forth and share the good news. Amen.